Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And wow, so today, we are talking about moving forward and when do you ask for help, and talking about asking for help. And I think this was, really, we got this, an email from a listener asking to, for how does someone just diagnosed with MS find the courage to ask for help? And this is something that's near and dear to our heart, because our hearts, would it be plural?
I think so. Yes.
Collective.
Sure.
Stop it, Dan. but it is just because the one thing, as far as anything that you talk about with me in terms of being not critical, but just pointing out, I don't like to ask for help. Is this true?
I would say yes. Yes, it is. And it is one of those things that, you know, a newly diagnosed person inquired about this. And that's an interesting question, because I remember, as you and I have talked about in the past, Dan, the early days of your diagnosis, when you think everything is bad and you are grasping to try and understand what life is going to be like with this disease. And there is it's a tricky, tricky balance to figure out if you're asking too much or you're not asking enough. And so I think asking for help, you need to surround yourself with good people, like you, Dan and I talk about quite often. Have your team of people that you can trust, and trust yourself that you're not over asking. But I think it's an interesting conversation. So Dan, why do you have a wife that occasionally accuses you of not asking for help?
Because she's the best wife ever. I think, you know, just but is reverting back to the days of me being newly diagnosed, and I think just for me as a person. But I remember when I was first diagnosed, things were more difficult. Things were more challenging than you remember. It's like even the sense of, I always had a hard time, you know, when I used to wear dress shirts to work, and, you know, putting on a shirt and tie and always having to button that top button. And it was hard because my fingers, my hands, the dexterity is the numbness, you know, which a lot of people with MS have. So it's like being able to button those buttons. And I recall shortly after I was diagnosed, and I don't want to say the cat was out of the bag, but people at work knew I was diagnosed, knew I had MS, knew I had challenges with buttoning that top button. I occasionally would ask a coworker to button the button for me because I couldn't do it. And that was, it took a lot of pride to swallow to do that. But it was just like, I did not want, that was new to me. And I didn't want to have just like straight out of the gate, just after I'm diagnosed, having to ask for help to do that, to do the simplest of things, to button a button on your shirt. And that was a lot to handle, a lot to deal with, because it's just like, I didn't want to feel like I was giving up too early, too soon, to say, oh my gosh, I can't button my button. And I don't know what. And she was always willing, always wanting to help. But at the same time, I wasn't always comfortable with it. And then finally, I realized, okay, Dan, you don't feel with your fingers. You can go and look in the mirror and see where the button is. And so that was the adaptability, how I adapted to it. It's like, don't just go with the sensation that you can do with your fingers, but go and look and use your sight to be able to do that. And then, you know, sooner rather than later, I no longer had to ask said coworker to help me button the button on my tie or on my shirt, because I had figured out how to fix that. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I felt empowered. So,
and that's good. That feeling of empowerment is important, and any person living with the disease needs to hold on to that for as long as you can. And I think for me, it's a difficult subject because I ask for help so often throughout the day because I'm not as able to do things as I once was, just activities of daily living. So for me, it's not difficult, but I have to be careful that I'm not asking too much. And there are times, certainly when you're tired, you're like just asking all the time. And I have to step back and say, can you do that for yourself? Or, you know, if you're having a crappy day or a poopy day where you're thinking, I'm just going to let somebody do it, you have to find that in yourself to say, no, you can do this. So it's a difficult subject, and I don't think any of us handle it the same way. But I think it's interesting, you, Dan, now that you're realizing or that you're more aware that it's okay to ask for help. I don't know. Why do you think? Is it just the control where we don't want to ask for help, or the acknowledgement that we have this chronic illness? Why are we so hesitant, or why is it so difficult to ask for help?
I think that that's a you know, what the word you use is really the acknowledgement of it, that I always think that it's almost like, you know, one of my biggest fears, one of the things I'm most afraid of is karma. And that it's just like, I don't want to ask for help now of something with something that I so easily can do, because it's like, I'm maintaining everything, or I'm maintaining as much as I can. And if I start like, I don't mean giving in, because I guess giving in is from the sense of like, if it's something I'm fully capable of doing, but take the easy way out, or don't rise to the challenge that you're faced with. I'm like, well, then what's to keep me from that slippery slope to where I can't do it anymore? And then it's just like, okay, that's on me. That's my fault. And not that karma's going to come back and bite me. But at the same time, I just don't want to give up too easily. And so that's always a thing. But then I always think, is it because of the MS? Or I don't want to ask for help because of fear of karma with MS related? Or is it just straight out of the gate that just never was my, can I say MO? Yeah, that was just never my thing, because I just don't ask for help because it's like, well, I can figure this out on my own.
And I don't want to blame your gender and say it's just because you're a stubborn man, but you are a stubborn man and you have a lot of pride, understandably, and I love that about you. But there are moments when I see you struggling, and all you have to do is ask for help. And because I don't want to, I know what it's like when I'm so frustrated and I'm on the verge of tears because I can't do something. I can't get my hands to work. And then the more upset I get, the more frustrated I get, the worse my dexterity is, or the harder it is to get my license out of my wallet, or anything that I'm trying to do. And if it's not working, and I get so frustrated, and then you have to ask someone for help. And so for me, I try and step in. I don't want to get you to that point because it's not good. You're frustrated, but I don't want to jump in too soon. And that's where we're at a little bit of an advantage, Dan, because we're both living with the disease.
And that's so true. And that's the thing too, then, that other, that like the fear of the caregiver, the person, the partner, the friend, or whoever, knowing when it's okay to step in. Because when you're frustrated, almost on the verge of tears, the last thing you want is husband Dan Digman to step in and say, here, let me help you. One thing you don't want to do in the same, or as a caregiver, and for you seeing me struggle, you know how much that's going to just totally send me off the deep end. If you say, here, I will help, it's just like, that's the last thing I want right now.
That is the last thing you want. It's such a difficult thing, because nothing I hate worse than if I'm struggling to do something and there's that person just standing there watching me struggle. Yep. And it makes me so angry, and to the point where I get mad because they're not helping me. But then if they step in, and I feel like, oh, they're just stepping in like on their high horse. Like, look at me.
I'm your savior. I'm your white knight.
Here I come. Here's your white knight. Exactly. So that you have to, as the person living with multiple sclerosis, you have to be open to needing the help, open to taking the help. So I think that that's just a really sticky subject. When I ask for help, because I do, I try not to overuse it. And when I need help, I try and really clearly convey what I need. Mm. Try to be almost to the bordering on obnoxious. Like, okay, I need you to do this, just this. Or I tell you how I need it. Because if I leave it open-ended where a person can just help me the way they kind of think they want to do it, and then God forbid it's not done the way I want it, then you feel 100 times worse because you're saying, oh, nitpicky, that's not the way. That's not how I would do it. Excuse me. There's just so much that goes into it, being the person on the receiving end. And I'm... This is just a funny random story. The last time I asked for help, I was grocery shopping and there was a bag of cherries, probably weighs maybe a pound. That's how weak I am, but that's neither here nor there. And my caregiver was not right by me. And so I saw these cherries and they looked delicious and I was being impatient. I wanted them right now. So I asked another a woman shopping at the grocery store, and she was so very sweet, and absolutely she helped me. But that's a little of an uncomfortable situation, as you have to admit you can't do it yourself. And then she used a term of endearment, just like, you know, oh, no problem, honey. And it was sweet, but at the same token, on the wrong day, I might be thinking, why are you talking to me like I'm a child?
Right.
Or why are you? So that's the sticky wicket that is living with the disease and asking for help, or being on the other end of someone who's helping someone. So I don't know if there's a really clear definition or a clear way to do the help triangle or the help relationship.
And I think that's where, you know, for you and me, in terms of like person with MS and the caregiver, and that's where you and I, and that's why communication, especially with, like, if you have daily interactions with another person who is your caregiver, and I can say that because you are mine, I am yours, it's just having that clear understanding. And that's where, and we established this very early in our relationship, that I was not going to step in, and I still don't step in and quote unquote help unless you ask. And I think that's the thing that then that was the challenge when we were dating, and I'd be down at your house and your parents on the weekends, and it's like, and if you were cutting up your chicken or steak or something and you were struggling with it, I would just sit and let you do because I know that you're not going to ask until, or you're not going to ask for help until you're ready for it. So I just kind of kept eating. And I always felt bad because I think I always felt like your parents were watching me saying, Dan, you're such a deadbeat. Why aren't you helping our daughter? But it's just like, that's your thing. And I know that, but you also know that you can't sit and wait until things go bad to where it's going to be a bigger deal for me to help because it went too far the other way. And so I think it's just that communication with the other person that it's just like, know when to step in or know that it's a shared relationship.
I think so much about this disease, about living with this disease as a shared relationship. And those things, you have to muddle through them. I mean, you and me, Dan, we're going on 18 years of marriage. And you hit either one of us on the wrong day. Huh. And we will have a little spat about asking for help or about fatigue or about responsibilities. And so that's married life. Well, that's life with a chronic illness for parents, for siblings. I mean, it's just human life that, you know, it's easy to have those little spats. So I think, you know, the listener wanted to know about how to ask for help. And it's a fluid thing. I don't think it can clearly be defined. Just be receptive. Surround yourself with people you trust. People that, you know, the more you can educate people about multiple sclerosis and the realities that one day you might be able to do it and the next day you can't. That's MS and it's very variable. So I think that is something to ask for help, just to clearly define it and to not overuse your request for help.
And that's one thing I know when I was first diagnosed, and just always having that challenge, that struggle and asking for help. And I honestly think, and this was advice from our dear friend, Kathy Zucker, who was the leader of the MS help or MS support group here in Mount Pleasant. And I had asked her about it in terms of, you know, asking for help. And it's like, she said something to the effect of this, you're giving somebody else the opportunity to help you. And it's just like people are always willing to help one way or the other. And that's, you know, why would you deny them that opportunity to help you? And feel good about the work that they do and did in their friendship. I mean, their friendships, or like you say, even with the stranger in the store, people want to help. And I mean, why do we deny that? And I think too, it's like for any time I ask a friend or somebody, you, for help, it's just like, you would do the same for me, or I would do the same thing for you if you asked me. So why would I not, you know, allow you, and that sounds like so empowering or like controlling, but in terms of I'm going to allow you, but it's just like, why would I deny that opportunity to have somebody help me?
And speaking of opportunity, certainly you don't want to deny them of that, but so your friend helps you, don't be shy to when the opportunity to return the favor. Mm-hmm. comes about, you best be there to help. And for me, as I've talked about, you know, not walking and I have a little limited strength and I'm not like as physically able to do things as I was in the past, there are things that I can help and do, and you just have to look for where the need is, and that makes a person feel good when you don't want to ask for help all the time. But if you need help all the time, to be able to give people help back, however that, you know, small acts of help, it feels good to give the help as well as it does to receive it. So I think in the future, maybe it goes back to taking a pause when you're frustrated and you have to ask for help. Take a deep breath and don't be afraid to do it. And when someone asks you for help, do it, no questions asked. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that there are a bajillion reasons I love being married to you, but if I ever need something, you never say, oh, give me a few minutes or I'll do that for you just like after this commercial break. If I need help, you always do it right then. And that helps to make it not feel like a burden. Because any of us living with MS, I think there would be a consensus agreement that we do not want to feel like a burden. So when you ask for help and someone says, yeah, that feels like a burden. So maybe that's if you're listening to this and you're not living with MS or another chronic illness and you are the caregiver that is helping that person out, don't make them feel like a burden.
Don't make them feel like a burden. And you do it, I mean, just because, and you don't keep score, you don't record, or, you know, just say, oh, well, I helped you yesterday. Didn't I do that for you once already? It's obviously you're asking for it. You need it now. And I think that's the other thing too, in terms of being in tune, like you said, to look and see when people want the opportunity. And I will pull this out because it just happened last night. And you always say, oh, I do so much, and you can't do a lot. That you essentially, just last night insisted when we were watching TV, you're just like, take your shoes off, put your right foot up on my lap, because you know that I have like plantar fasciitis, my feet are killing me, my arches feel like they're bruised and stuff. But as we're watching TV, just that you're just like, because you know I will never ask you to rub my feet, just to squeeze that out, and you're just like, no, I'm doing this. And it's just like, I never ask because you know I won't ask for that.
It's a small thing, and anyone, you know, I want to do what I can, and if I can rub your feet, and it's a win-win for me because it strengthens my hands or it makes me feel stronger, and it helps you, and you do so much, so that's an easy thing. I don't want to say I only do it because it's easy, but it's something, you know, just a 20 minutes rub your feet. It made me feel like pretty awesome.
I was going to say, how does that make you feel then? I mean, just in terms of being able to help, and then all of a sudden, is this like, does that make it then easier for you to ask for help because you're giving it as well?
Well, like you said, you don't keep score, but it does make you feel a little less needy when you can do some things to help out other people. And you're not supposed to keep score, but let's be honest, I'm sure we all kind of do. That if you feel like, oh, I asked for 5 favors today, or if that woman asked me to do one other thing, it's nice to have an equal playing field where you're both contributing. And I think that's a success of marriage, success of friendship, is just to try and make it as even. And that's why living with a chronic illness, losing some of your ability with a worsening disease course, we all want to have an even playing field. So that's something just to rub your feet. That was like, yay, I did something for Dan, something I know will help him feel better. And that was good.
It was. And then that made it easier because then my feet didn't hurt so bad then when I'm, you know, when we transfer, when we do this, or when I'm, it's just like it helps. And I think that's the one thing. And this is where we as people living with MS that need to ask for help or that ask for help, you know, one of the biggest lessons I learned was in the office and coworkers and everything, just that for the longest time, I would not ask coworkers for help because then I felt like I was a deadbeat or I wasn't pulling my weight or I wasn't doing my job. But then when you look collectively at the operation for the company, for the business, I'm not doing the company any favors being late on my tasks, being late on this, when I've got like all these other coworkers who are there that maybe don't have as heavy a workload at that moment in time. I'm not bettering things by taking this on, staying up all night doing this. It's like, ask for help, because then all of a sudden I'm not pulling all-nighters. They're not twiddling their thumbs because their jobs are out with clients and whatnot. It's like asking that, because that's improving the team in doing that. So very much in a caregiving relationship or you living with MS, it's like you're not helping the team by not asking for help, not finding a way, because then that conserves your strength and energy so that you can do other things rather than frustrating yourself and bringing yourself down. Meanwhile, bringing your caregivers down. And so it's really a matter of how do you do this and think beyond yourself and think about the team.
And it's an overused expression, probably. Some people will roll their eyes, but teamwork does make the dream work. And as Dan and I often talk about, we function really well as a team. And we have friends and doctors and family, and they're all part of our team. And we're fortunate that we have that.
It is. It's just that surrounding with people. So, I mean, how is this thing about, okay, so you've lived with the disease for 25. I know, 25 plus. I'm closing in on 25. But how do you think is it easier or more difficult now, 25 years in, to ask for help?
That's a really tough question. It depends. I think as my disease course changes, and see, now we're getting entirely personal. I hope that's okay.
Well, unless you don't want to go there.
No, I think it's a very valid question. The things that I have to ask for help with, like the activities of daily living, they're a little more personal. They're a little more humbling. They're a little more difficult. So that makes it harder. As a person living with the disease for 25 plus years, I'm not the same person I was 25 years ago. But I think that's aging. I think it's difficult. I wish more people could imagine or put themselves in the shoes of the person asking for help sometimes, because it is difficult. It's hard to ask for help, but it's easier. I have often said to you, Dan, that I think it's easier to help me because of my wheelchair. It's apparent that I have something that I can't do, whereas you or the other invisible disability crowd, where for you to ask for help, that's got to be a little difficult, because you have to say, look, I do have something I need help with.
Well, and that's where, and that's a great point, because, you know, it's in terms of like the progression of the disease, the length in which you've lived with it, the ask for help isn't what it was 25 years ago, where you're just saying, could you cut my steak, or I can't do this. They're elevate to different levels where it does become more difficult. And I think that a lot is relating to being able to ask for help for people. It's like for people that know you, see you on a daily basis, then it becomes easier because they know what your needs are, know what your limitations are. And I think that's where, you know, Jen is your caregiver, but I think that, you know, I receive the care too, in the sense that there's things that you would do for me if you could, but you can't. But it's just, I'm thinking of eardrops in my ears because I had like my ears were plugged up. I can't feel the bottle to make sure that the eardrops are going in and squeezing and stuff. I don't have the dexterity to squeeze it. But that Jen helped with that and applied it so that I was getting that. But I had to, I didn't, you asked her to help me. But it's just like, and I wouldn't normally would have asked that. But at the same time, then me not being able to hear you because my ears plugged up, I just needed that help. But it's just like, but Jen knows my limitations, my weakness. That's why you guys go to the store. But she opens up all the bottles to take the safety seals off because I don't have the dexterity to pull the seals off, or she'll crack open the, like yesterday with the mouthwash to take the safety seal off and just open that stuff because she knows I don't have as good a handle on that stuff. But it is because she's here. She knows what my, where my downfalls are.
It's not a downfall. Well, but, it's just, but, you know, your like limitation.
I was trying to think of a different word than limitation.
I couldn't think of one. Sorry. I couldn't read your mind. Surprising after all these years. But the one thing that Jen functions as really well is she will say, well, I'm your hands. Mm. So you couldn't put in eardrops and I needed to do it. Well, my hands don't work, but my hands, a la Jen, she was like, okay, my hands will do it. And so she put your eardrops in because she's functioning as my hands because my hands don't work. So asking for help in the situation of your ears, it, you didn't have to ask me. You probably didn't even, I didn't even need to mention it to Jen. She would just do it automatically because she spends enough time with us. And hopefully if you're listening to this and you're a caregiver or you're the person receiving care, you have the kind of relationship, or you're striving to have that kind of relationship with someone where they can read your mind and see what you need before you have to ask. But if you have to ask, or if you need that, just be clear about it, and hopefully you can get that kind of assistance, because it will help you. And conversely, like you said, Dan, it'll help that person who's helping you.
Exactly. And I think that's when, for everyone who is out there and newly diagnosed, or if you've lived with the disease forever, just in terms of asking for help, it's like, just remember that you would do the same thing for the other person if they asked you. And it's just like, because it's just human kindness, and that's all it is. And it's like, we're not giving in to the disease or taking the easy way out. I mean, even if it seems like it's the easy way out, well, what's the takeaway or the long-term effects? It's kind of like when people who have an invisible illness who can get out of the car, park in a handicapped spot at the store, get out of the car and walk easily into the store. Well, then after you walk around in the store, you'll have that. It's that much more challenging when you get out of the store because you've walked so much. And now to get to your car, it's just like, well, how do you conserve your energy? And if it's like asking for help or doing things, it may seem like the easy way out in the moment. But at the same time, look at the long term. It's like, no, you're conserving your energy because you know that it's going to work against you in the long run if you don't ask. And so it's just being open, being honest with people, and doing what's best for you, you know, and best for your team.
Absolutely. And it is important to function as a team and to not just think about yourself, and to work together just to get the most out of your life. And one thing that we didn't talk about with a team is that there are those resources. You know, reach out, whether it's like on the internet or at your church or in your support group, There are resources. You know, we've mentioned before the National MS Society, the MS Association of America,
the MS Foundation.
MS Foundation. There are a number of organizations. So if you are feeling, if you are in that newly diagnosed, or even if you have lived with the disease for a number of years, it's always good to stay up to what's going on. There's a lot of new medications, new treatment options. There's just a lot of things out there to help us, the nearly million of us living with multiple sclerosis. So don't be afraid to ask for help and see if you can find it.
Wow. So hopefully that answers to our listener who submitted the question about, like, how does somebody living with MS find the courage to ask for help? Hopefully we answer that question. And we encourage everybody else out there in listener land, send us your questions, just because we'd like to know, what are your thoughts and how do you venture and journey with this disease, and what can we do to help you navigate things within your, if I can call it an MS journey. I just did.
You did, and I think that's exactly correct. And until the next time we talk, just keep thinking about what you need and what's going to make your journey a little smoother.
Perfect. Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we are doing and what you would like us to talk about in further episodes. Email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, acoupletakesms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care. And of course, keep moving forward.